It's the JT the Brick Show.
They get the snap ball. Hand off Jacobs. Has the first down of the big hole. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Raiders.
Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He is smothered. Error brought down. Max Crosby came around for the sack.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Shotgun snap to Stidham. Lob to your corner for Adams. Makes the grab in the corner. Touchdown Raiders. An absolutely perfect pass. And Adams dragged his feet in the back left corner.
And now, filling in for JT today is Harry Ruiz.
Hour number two of today's JT the Brick Show kicks off now. Raider Nation, how hyped are you? It's August. It's August 1st. It's football season. Now we get to enjoy three preseason games for the Silver and Black in August, and then September comes and rolls around with the regular season kicking off. September, October, November, December, January. We got those 5 months guaranteed with Raiders football going down, and then January. Hopefully the Raiders are playing mid-January, late January, and in February. And you know what? This team, the way that the defense is rolling around, defense wins championships. So as long as the offense can get us 20 points per game, 24 points per game, we would be talking about a contending team. The defense, it's incredible. Last season, the moment that AP took this team on as the interim head coach till the end of the regular season, it was the best defense in points per game allowed. So let's see how close this team can get to staying on that level defensively, and that will tell you how the offense is going to have to respond. Let's go to our next guest here today. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He was recognized a couple of years ago by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and if you go to Canton, you'll see his face right there. But you ain't got to go all the way to Canton, Ohio to see his face. Come out here to Las Vegas. Go to Allegiant Stadium. Go to the parties the nights before the games with the Black Hole, and you'll see Wayne Mabry, the Violator. You'll see him in all his glory with his face paint, with the spikes like you've been seeing him for decades. Representing the Raiders in LA, representing the Raiders in Oakland, and now representing the Raiders in Las Vegas as well. Wayne Violator, my brother, thank you so much for joining me today here on the JT the Brick Show. It's August. Are you excited? Football's almost here.
What's up, Harry? Look, you already know I'm ecstatic, brother. I'm just trying to keep everything under wraps emotionally. But as soon as they let us in there, brother, it's time to raise hell.
Yeah, you'll be right there. I know I've seen you constantly on the Winfield Club, all the way in the front, see you on the big screen, you and Mama Violator out there doing your thing. I've seen Davante Adams handing out touchdown balls to your lady. But to speak about what we want to speak about first, tell me what it meant to you when you found out that your face, Violator, your character was going to be on one of the tickets for the season ticket holders, the physical tickets that the Raiders distributed these last couple of weeks. And now that we've seen them all around social media, like, I'm not a season ticket holder, but I've seen it all around social media. What did it mean to you that they chose you as one of the 10 fans that they included in the tickets?
Listen, man, first of all, it was an honor just to be chosen to, be on the tickets, on the face of the tickets. And secondly, for the organization to choose fans to go on there, that's a move that I don't think any other team around the league has done, to my knowledge. But it's the ultimate compliment, coming from them. And it means that we're keeping ourselves in the proper way to recognize that shield.
Absolutely. And you look at the Raiders, the first season was the season that the stadium was closed. No fans allowed in the stands, and I think they used artwork by Vegas artists in their season tickets. And then after that, the next three seasons, 21, 22, 23, in season tickets, they honored each and every Raider player that is in the Hall of Fame that played for the Raiders. So all the legends, the big names for the Silver and Black, they were on the tickets and on the game day programs. When I saw that treasure chest, that, by the way, includes a picture where you are on the torch with fellow Raider Nation members like Gorilla Rilla, like my sister Rachel Brown, shout out to her, and other fellow Raider fans, and then see you in the tickets. I couldn't believe it, Violator, and I was so happy for you guys because you guys have been there. I mean, you've been a Raider fan pretty much since day one, since 1970. I think I've heard that that's when you became a fan. But going from that day in 1970 to 2024 and seeing yourself in a ticket, I can imagine that was a wild ride.
The ride's not over, brother, first of all. But listen, it's the ultimate honor. Like you say, coming from the organization that you cheer for, that's the ultimate honor. And it's like they're putting their arms around us and saying, yes, you guys are a part of us. You know, there was that rumor all the time that, oh, the Raiders fans think that they're part of the team. And then there's another part of that same rumor that, well, yeah, the players think they're part of the team. So now the organization is saying, making a statement to me saying that, yes, these guys are part of us. We're going to go through this war together and reach that next Lombardi Trophy together.
That's what I'm talking about. Wade Mabry, the Violator, is our guest here in today's JT the Brick Show, one of the most notorious members of the Raider Nation. You've seen him all over the place, documentaries that have been done about the Raiders. There's a good chance that you've seen his face in all of those. Now let's backtrack a little bit to January, before the last game of last season. You, Gorilla Rilla, other members of the Raider Nation, go down to the field. You're invited guests of the Raiders to go down to the field. Can you explain to me the emotion of not knowing what was going to happen and then out of nowhere being told by Mark Davis that you were going to light the torch?
Oh, man. You know, first-class act on Mark's behalf. That them holding that secret from us, and you know how stuff leaks out. But we didn't have a clue, Harry. You know, they told us, hey, be right here. Somebody's going to come and get you guys. You know, we were taking pictures with fans, and then we had to leave. And then we sit there, like in the green room, so to speak, for a while. And then all the emotions started to boil over. I remember Sandra coming by, and she took pictures with Gorilla and I. Never let on anything, you know. So we thought, okay, we're going out here to, you know, meet Mark Davis and probably take a photo with him. Blew our socks off when he walked up. And by the way, the camera crew was too relaxed, so that got me a little bit curious. I'm like, they're not just sitting around for nothing. When Mark Davis came out of the tunnel, they went on alert, and the whole surprise was unveiled right in front of us, man. When he's standing in front of us, and I could see the emotion in his eyes, and I'm holding his hand while he's telling, and I could just feel that intensity, man. That came from his heart. And for him to recognize us, to light that torch in honor of Mr. Davis, man, that's like going to Disneyland and riding on a float, you know, with Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah, and actually, like, holding on to a flag up there on the float, too. Not just sitting there. It's like you guys were the stars of that moment. And I remember my friend Rachel Brown, when I made my way down to the field, she was like, why did you keep that secret from me? I'm like, what? We're lighting the torch today. I was like, what? I didn't know either. It's like, no, they kept it under wraps. It was a big secret that the Raiders held on to, and you guys deserve it. But it's great that I see this association now where the Raiders and the Black Hole, you guys are doing things in unison now. I remember the Halloween party last year. You, Gorilla Rilla, Our Lady of Raider Nation, you guys were out there as judges. Now you go to the Modelo tailgate before the games, and you guys are out there taking fans, pictures with fans. This feels like how it should be, Violator.
Absolutely, Harry. I couldn't agree more. It's just that synergism between the front office and the fans. We're a team together, and we're only as strong as that weakest link. So, you know, us fans, we always bring our A-game. That's been our mantra from way back when the team first moved back to Oakland. We always brought our A-game, and we showed them that we live this lifestyle. Raiders is in your blood. You can't fake this. Either y'all in or get off the ship, brother.
Absolutely. And look, once a Raider, always a Raider. All our legends, we respect them. All our former players, everybody that has left blood, sweat, and tears on the field for this team has our utmost respect. But look, players go, coaches come and go, front office members come and go, employees come and go. Raider Nation, it always stands, Wayne.
Generations deep, brother. Generations deep.
There you go. Wayne, tell the folks where they can follow you on social media, because you're active on Twitter, you're active on Instagram, and Raider Nation, I mean, if you don't follow Wayne there, I don't know what you're doing.
What are you waiting on? Come on, Raider Nation. On X, I'm at Violator57. Simple as that. Instagram, Mabry Wayne. MabryWayne. And you'll see my business face, because I'm verified now, so I couldn't use my game face.
Hey, but you know what? It's good to see your face as well, too. Know the man behind the face paint, because you're an amazing super fan, but you're an even better person, brother. And I'm honored to know you, besides just being like, sorry, behind the scenes. So, Wayne, thank you so much. Give me the 411. You coming out for the preseason or regular season week three?
I'll be at both preseason games. I don't want to miss a game, man.
We got to enjoy it as much as possible. And I'll try to get one of those tickets from the Chargers game to try to get it autographed by you, man. Please say hello to Mama Violator, all right?
Will do, brother. Look forward to seeing you, man.
There you go. Wayne Mabry, the Violator Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thank you so much. We'll see him out here in Las Vegas August 17th when the Raiders take on the Cowboys at 7 p.m. at Allegiant Stadium. 702-365-9200 is our phone here, our number on the phone lines, and we appreciate everyone that has been calling us so far here. We had Mitch from New Jersey. We got another caller on the line all the way from San Diego, if I'm correct, right? Sawed Off, are you on the line with us? You stuck around?
Simón, este.
¿Qué onda, carnal? ¿Cómo estás? Hey, what you got for me?
What's up, Harry, man? Hey, good to hear from you again, man. I enjoy when you come on for JT the Brick. I got to say what's up to my boy Wayne Violator, man. He's been holding it down forever, you know what I mean? Ever since I showed up out there in 1996, he's been there, man, ever since the beginning. So him and Gorilla and Rachel and all them, they always hold it down. The Raider Nation, the whole Raider Nation's got to give them props, because, you know what I mean, they put this up on their shoulders. They held it on a pedestal until everybody wanted to be a part of it, you know what I mean? So big props to them. I was giving you guys a call about Max Crosby, because I was talking to my boy Lester Hayes the other day, and he said something to me that you guys just provoked out of my brain right now when you were talking about Max. He told me, he goes, you know what Max is? He goes, Max is, he's a cross between Greg Townsend and Howie. Greg and Howie, like half and half. That's Max. And I thought about that, and I thought, man, that's crazy. I mean, you're talking about Greg Townsend. You're talking about Howie Long. And you are half of that and half of the other? Yeah, that's just madness. And then we got our big defensive tackle in the middle now, finally, after like a decade of not having one. So, you know, things are going to open up. Max is going to just let loose and just rip everybody, you know what I mean, into shreds. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see Malcolm Kuntz just let loose. Also, that dude's going to have 10 sacks at least this year. Max Crosby's going to have 15, 16 probably, if not more. Wilkins, he's going to – oh, my God. It's going to be crazy. I can't wait to see it all. Man. I just remember Lester talking about his favorite player was Reggie Kinlaw. And he said, Reggie Kinlaw was my favorite player because – I could not have had all those interceptions that I had without Reggie Kinlaw. Reggie Kinlaw would just collapse the whole pocket. The quarterbacks would have to scramble. They'd have to make mistakes. And when they made a mistake, boom, there I was.
Hey, you know what? Oh, the D-line.
I love the Raider Nation.
Hey, the D-line sets it up for the secondary, and that sets it up for the fans. Sawed Off, I appreciate your call, my man. Hope everything's going down. Great way down there in Southern California. Hope to see you out here in Las Vegas one of these days, all right?
Yes, sir. See you soon, Harry.
Absolutely. By the way, remember the words he said, that Lester Hayes says that Max is like a mix of Greg Townsend and Howie Long? Greg Townsend had just mentioned him early on the show. Top sack leader in Raiders history, 107.5 sacks. Second place, Howie Long, 84 sacks. Max Crosby, right now, he's fifth place, 52. When he gets his sixth sack this season, he will be number three. So it would be Townsend, Long, Crosby, and hopefully Max has a long career ahead of him in silver and black. We spoke about the Black Hole, some of their members like Violator, like Gorilla Rilla, like Our Lady of Raider Nation, and the legendary, rest in peace, Black Hole Rob are members of the Raider Nation that are part of the season tickets, the physical tickets, which, by the way, most teams around professional sports nowadays, they're just doing digital tickets. You get your tickets on your phone, you scan them, that's it. Raider fans, they can scan their tickets on their phone too, but if you're a season ticket holder, you're getting those physical tickets, which are legendary. But the Black Hole, I wanted to tell you, it's home to football's most notorious fans with over 40 chapters worldwide. If you're a new member, you're going to receive 20% off all your website purchases, exclusive member hotel discounts for home and away games, access to members-only merchandise, and more. And the best part is, all memberships are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. If you bleed silver and black and want to belong to one of the most passionate fan clubs in all of sports, look no further. Visit theblackhole.com today. That's theblackhole.com. Thank you to Wayne. Maybe he joined us earlier today. Gorilla Rilla, my man, he's working hard over there in Northern California under the hot sun. Why? To be ready to be able to enjoy football season. Somebody that's going to be enjoying football season a lot, hopefully this year, is Brian Fowler from All In Autumn Wind. His third season following the Raiders all around the country. He's going to be joining me after this break.
Sounds like you're going to have to see them a couple of
JT the Brick Show with today's guest host, Harry Ruiz.
Sounds like you're going to have to see them in a couple of preseason games.
We will.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. We'll see our entire team. We'll play our starters and most of our guys in the first half of pretty much all the preseason games and go. And that's just how I'm going to get down this year, and that's what our guys want to do, and we'll play ball.
That's Antonio Pierce, Raiders head coach, speaking with CBS Sports, and I loved hearing that. Starters are going to be getting action during preseason games. As a Raider fan, I'm not used to that. Heck, I remember the second season for guys like Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnette, who are no longer with the team. 2020, they didn't have no preseason. It was a COVID season. 2021, I was like, you know what? Preseason action can be beneficial for players like this. And they still weren't playing in the preseason. I'm like, come on, man. Heck, I'm even hitting the microphone now. Of course, you don't want players being in an extended time on the field, risking their bodies during preseason action in games that don't count. But at the same time, I think it's beneficial to have our players out there on the field feeling those bang-bang plays with other NFL players. And someone that will be at every single Raiders official game of the 2024 campaign, just as he has done it the last 2 years, is Brian Fowler from All In Autumn Wind. He's ready to get those luggage bags reinforced, and hopefully none of them get damaged like mine did when I came back from Tulum last week. Brian, great to talk with you. How excited are you, and how ready are you for I got a feeling it's going to be a demanding, both physically and mentally and spiritually and everything, to be ready to travel pretty much every week for 5 months.
¿Cómo estás, mi amigo?
Hey, vamos a hacerlo en español. Brian, ¿cómo estás? Doing fantastic, mi hermano. Doing fantastic.
I'm great. I've exhausted all the Spanish I know, unfortunately. So, I'm extremely excited. It's 38 days away from the first game at SoFi. I can't wait. I'm pumped.
Hey, at least that game, it's going to be in your backyard, and the game against the Rams is going to be in your backyard, right? You're not going to have to be getting on a flight or driving for 4 hours to Vegas. Those are going to be easy. But looking throughout the calendar, and also you've been traveling for other events. This year you added like all the Raider Nation events with autograph signings and conventions and all that kind of stuff. This is the biggest and best year so far for All In Autumn Wind.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been trying. You know, my whole focus has been, we've got a lot of people covering the team, talking about the players and all the stats and everything. So my focus has been on Raider Nation, really. The past 2 years, you know, I've gone to 39 consecutive games, and the goal has been to document in every city the night before parties, the tailgates, the experience. And during the off season, I just get, you know, I get really bored and lonely, and you know, just waiting for that new season to start. So what's great is there's so many Raider Nation events out there all across the country. So this year, I did hit some up. Summer kickoff in Bakersfield, that's Lorenzo Raider Crusaders, had a great event. There was the Raider Nation convention in Arizona that was fantastic. And yeah, there was even a comedy roast, Our Lady of Raider Nation. You know, she had a comedy roast going on that was a ton of fun. So it's a lot of good stuff out there. And I try to post as much as I can. I think one of the great things that happened, it's so minor, but it meant a lot to me, is somebody reached out and said, hey, I saw one of your videos about an event that was close to me. I had no idea. I went to the event and I met a bunch of Raider fans and had a blast. And this was like, I think it was in Washington, if I'm not mistaken. So it was just kind of an honor, you know, that somebody reached out and said, because of you, I met all these other Raider fans. And that was very cool.
That's what it's all about, family. Heck, I remember watching the video from Arizona, from the convention, where at the end of the convention, a U.S. Postal Service employee told you, "Is like, man, I'm a Raider fan too, and I just came to drop off something else," right?
It was so amazing. She was adorable, by the way. But she was like, what's going on in here? Because she saw all the Raider stuff, and she, you know, she and her husband are diehard Raider fans. But they didn't know about it, so, you know, I guess I'm not doing my job well enough, because the United States Postal Service wasn't aware and didn't give her the day off.
Hey, you know what? Now she knows about All In On Them Win. She was in the video, and she is starting to get a lot of hype from fans that we enjoyed watching her in your video. We enjoyed also watching your training camp video. You, by the way, congratulations, new PSL holder, new season ticket holder for this season. So you were able to go to training camp over there in Southern California where you reside. How was that experience for you, being able to watch the guys practice? Of course, you couldn't document the whole thing because of restrictions and policies when it comes to recording practices, but you were able to enjoy the whole practice.
I did. It was great. It was the very first practice in Costa Mesa. So, you know, obviously they weren't doing pads yet, and it was on the lighter side. You know, they were getting warmed up there, and yeah, there were restrictions on camera. Just to be clear, Harry, I did not bring the Kermit doll.
It wasn't you. It was our buddy Josh.
That's Josh. That's Josh, which has been very entertaining the last couple of weeks watching that play out. So yeah, no, the training camp was great. We didn't get a lot of players. I think they were on a time crunch, so we didn't get players coming over. I have to say Max Crosby is great, because the team could not come over, and yet he kind of ran away from a tent that was far off in the distance. And at the very least, he ran over and explained, like, I'm sorry, we have to go, but I want to run through here. And he gave a high five to every person in the line. And that was special. It just reinforces, like, this is really Max Crosby's team, you know. It's his team. He's the man.
I mean, you're talking about the best player on the team. You're talking about a guy that tomorrow is going to be announced as one of the top 10 in the top 100 NFL list for 2024. And he could have easily walked away and be like, well, he's a big time. He's a star. He can do that. And no, he goes over. I can't stop for autographs, but I'll hi-fi everybody. I saw that on the video, and it's like, hey, man, he earns your respect even more with that situation. Talk to me about what you saw that you like. I know it was super early. It was day one, as you mentioned, but there's a quarterback competition. There's two guys fighting for that spot, which is the most important position in all of football, and the Raiders, for the first time since 2014, have a quarterback competition in their hands.
That's right. It's strange, isn't it? It's so strange to be talking about that quarterback position after so many years of Carr. I really like AOC's ball. He throws a nice ball. I know he's not as mobile, but man, he can throw it. I go back and watch some games from last year, and you know, he had some great moments, and I'm excited about it. To be honest, I think he gets it. I think Minshew's a lot of fun. I think he's maybe high risk, high reward with his style of play, but it'll be interesting. Yeah, I think once once the preseason games kind of play out, we'll get a better sense of it. But if it's AOC, I might have to rock a mustache for a week or something.
So I know you're not a big fan of preseason games. I remember that you actually don't count the preseason games that you go to for the Raiders in your official count of consecutive games. But hearing what you heard as we were coming back from the break from Antonio Pierce, that the starters more than likely will be playing the first half of each of the preseason games, does that change your point of view when it comes to that?
Well, I not really. I mean, it does. It's a practice. Preseason is a practice. You know what I mean? I mean, for the fans, we still like to go at it and say that we won that practice or whatever. But I think it's great that they're going to get playing time. I mean, that's just going to get us more ready for the season. We're going to come out on week one in SoFi against the Chargers. And apparently Herbert's got something going on with his foot. I don't know if you saw that. I just saw an alert right as I was getting on here. So he's going to be out a few weeks. So anyway, that's irrelevant. But the key is we're going to be ready to go. We have not won in SoFi in the last couple of years since fans have been allowed in the stadium. That's the thing. It's like we own the tailgate, but in the stadium, we absolutely need a win inside that stadium.
Yeah, just to follow up on what Brian just mentioned right now, at noon, the Chargers posting, following yesterday's practice, Justin Herbert was diagnosed with an injury to the plantar fascia in his right foot. Doctors have recommended approximately 2 weeks in a boot, followed by a graduated return to play protocol with the expectation that he will be ready for the start of the regular season. So we are in a situation, by the way, thank you, Brian, for bringing it up, that the Chargers might be throwing in Justin Herbert ice cold. It's week one. Yeah. I mean, the start of the season, it's Raiders, Chargers.
And if it's not Herbert, I mean, we all saw what happened on that Thursday night game last year, 63 points. So, you know, I don't know. I think the Chargers probably sit Herbert for 39 days. That's what I think they should do.
There you go. That would be fantastic. I would prefer. Who's their backup? Is it still Easton Stick, or did they switch it up with somebody else? I love playing against them. I got good memories. The big game over at Allegiant Stadium. First time the Raiders ever scored. Yeah, Easton Stick is listed as the backup right now for the Chargers. So let's take another crack at him, right?
That's right. Yeah, I love it.
So bring up your numbers. How many consecutive games have you been to, by the way? Brian Fowler, All In Autumn Wind, is his channel on YouTube. He does a fantastic job chronicling his track to every single Raiders game home and away for the last two seasons. One more season. He brought up the exclusive last time we brought him here on the air, that new season coming up for 2024. What's your number? How deep are you so far in this adventure?
So it goes back about 2.5 seasons, well, a little less. Week 15 of the 2021 season, it was right at the start of that four-game run. We went on to make the playoffs. And then, you know, I also went to the playoff game in Cincinnati. And I wasn't documenting that year, but that's what made me think, gosh, I really want to show this to people, you know. So the following season, I started, and last year's I've been documented. So it's 39 games. And by the way, if all goes well, and if I'm successful in attending the 17 regular games this season, that'll bring me to 56. But if we have four playoff games, including the Super Bowl, it's going to be 60. So that's the goal for the year, 60 by the end of the season, Super Bowl. Let's do this.
Hey, I would love for that to happen. I mean, I would love for it to be 59, to be honest, instead of 60. That would mean we were the number one seed in the AFC. We play the divisional round at home. We play the AFC Championship at home, and then we play the Super Bowl. But that's just me.
I would love it. I'm there with you. I mean, yeah, getting a bye week, and then also as a new PSL holder, that would help me with the ticket prices on those playoff games too.
Absolutely. So, Brian, tell me what you got coming up, because the Raiders got open practices at Allegiant Stadium once they finish their game over there in Minnesota and they're back in Las Vegas. Will you be out here in Las Vegas for any of those preseason games, for any of the open practices?
That's right. Yeah, I think I'm going to go to the second one, which is on August 20th. And then, you know, of course, we've got the two preseason games at Allegiant. I'll be going to those against the Niners and Cowboys. I think it's the other way around, Cowboys and the Niners, but still. But there's a lot of other events going on, man. I do want to mention a few, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, bring them up.
You were just talking to Violator, which, by the way, I could listen to him talk all day. He's actually, he might have mentioned this at some point. I don't know if he mentioned it, but the black hole on August 10th when the Raiders are in Minnesota, I'm not going to that game, away game for preseason, but they're going to be the black hole with the Violator, Gorilla Rilla, and Senior Raider. We're also going to have Raider alumni Jeff Barnes there at the Eagle Mountain Casino. This is just outside of Porterville, California, which, by the way, is my hometown. So I am definitely going to be there for this. It's a watch party to watch the game from 11 to 5. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. I can't wait for that. I'm very excited. But a few others here. These are really cool. In Oakland, at the Coliseum, there's three this weekend, August 3rd, Oakland Dodgers versus A's.
Oh, yeah.
And the infamous B-Lot crew is kind of recreating a Raider tailgate at that game this Saturday. So if you're in the area, you can go check out that tailgate, and it'll be fun to kind of relive those classic Oakland Raider tailgates, which I miss very much. There's also in Vegas, the Raider Nation Misfits are doing a back-to-school event, and this is awesome, Harry, because they're giving school supplies to kids, but they're also going to have a barber on site to get those kids looking fresh for the new school year, so that's kind of nice. And then lastly, this weekend, there's a silver and black charity event in Temecula. Lincoln Kennedy is going to be there, but this is kind of like, you know, formal black tie in Temecula, California, this Saturday night. It's going to be really nice. I wish I could go to that, but I unfortunately have a conflict. And then beyond that, we've got events in Texas. The Texas Raiders are doing something on August 10th. That's also for the Vikings preseason game. The Northern Virginia Raiders Booster Club is having an event August 16th and 17th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's right, South Carolina. And then finally, we have the Northwest Black Hole Chapter doing their fifth annual Blackout Barbecue up in Washington. So that's on August 17th. I know that's a lot of information, but you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all in Autumn Wind. I try to post these events, where you can find them, how you sign up, get the information. So if you want to follow me there, I occasionally post a video about things coming up and just trying to keep people tuned in.
Yeah, I was going to say, and a fantastic job with the YouTube shorts and the videos for Instagram with the reels and everything out of the last couple of seasons that you've been doing this. It's been very engaging, and the fans are able to follow even more what you're doing and check out the throwbacks and get ready for what's coming up this season. So, Brian, I can't thank you enough, my brother. I hope to see you out very soon out here in Las Vegas, hopefully in L.A. as well. And please say hello to your wife, Jenny. She allows you to go to all these trips. And I mean, that she's a trooper for that, man.
That's right. Hey, Harry, are you going to be in L.A. for the first game?
Not confirmed yet. I'm hoping that's the case. Keeping my fingers crossed.
I got to do one more plug here, because that week one is going to be crazy. And Raider Crusaders have teamed up with the Black Hole. They're doing a Raider Nation takeover at the Hollywood Casino.
Oh, nice.
The Hollywood Park Casino, right next door to SoFi. That event is going to be absolutely crazy. There's a few other things going on in the day, like Raider Nation Golf Club. Ross Rakes is doing a tournament with former players. They have like Chargers and Raider fans playing each other. It's really awesome. He does this a lot. You should definitely check that out, especially if you're in golf. And then the Raider Dolls are throwing a daytime event. So you literally could go to a golf event in the morning, a barbecue in the afternoon with Raider Dolls, and then this Hollywood Park Casino event at night. So, I mean, there's just so much going on. It's crazy.
Hey, get there Friday. People are ready. Get there Friday, because if you get there Saturday, you're going to miss something. So be there day. Brian, my brother, thank you so much. And I can't wait to go back to All In Autumn Win on YouTube, because I swear to God, folks, all the time I'm watching the videos and I got to text Brian and be like, yo, this was awesome. Keep doing your thing. And like he said, a lot of folks cover the Raiders and do a great job covering the Raiders. He's the man in the tailgates, in the stadium, following the fans and recording videos, asking good questions. And you're the man, Brian. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate it.
There he goes. Brian Fowler. Check him out on YouTube, on Instagram, All In Autumn Wind, doing his thing out there. Personally, I really enjoy checking out his content. I know I'm subscribed. I know I got the notifications, and I know that every time I get a notification that a new video came up, I'm checking it out, and you should too. Raider content all over the world. He was mentioning all the fan clubs and all the stuff that they got coming up before the season kicks off. Shout out also to the folks over in Houston, the Space City crew. They do a fantastic job. Izzy, CBZ, everybody out there in Houston, I know that you guys do your thing. In El Paso, the Hardcore Raider Booster Club, they're out there as well, too. I mean, there's Raider fans everywhere, and if I got to start mentioning all of them, we're going to run out of time here in today's show. I know I'm starting to get hungry. It's almost 2 o'clock. I need to get some pizza in my system. And when I want pizza, I go to Grimaldi's. Hands down, my favorite pizza in Las Vegas. And now available in slices, weekdays for lunch. Bundle your giant slices with a house or Caesar salad and a soda or iced tea for only $9.99. Best part, they got 4 locations all across the Vegas Valley. Summerlin and Boca Park, on the Strip at the Palazzo, Southwest Las Vegas on South Rainbow, and Green Valley on South Eastern. Open for dine-in, carry-out, and delivery. Visit GrimaldiPizzeria.com. Oh, boy. The end of the show is almost near. I'm watching U.S. women's basketball, and the ladies have just beat Belgium 87-74. Congratulations to them. So both the ladies and the men's are undefeated on 5-on-5 basketball. So good for them. Let's talk about the men after we come back from this commercial break. It's the JT the Brick Show, 702-365-9200. It's your last chance to shoot me a call before we head into the weekend.
Back to the JT the Brick Show with today's guest host, Harry Ruiz.
Daniel said he's been working on his tackling. Have you?
Has he?
That's what he said.
He must be in his room late at night. He's got some pillows set up on his bed, and he's like jumping on the bed like a little kid and rolling over it. But I've seen no tackling drills.
Yeah, you don't want your players and your kickers getting in on the tackling drill situation in training camp. But AJ Cole, Daniel Carlson, I mean, you every once in a while you'll see the kickers get in on the tackling action if the returner takes it close to the house and they want to stop it, but you try to avoid it as much as possible. Now that might change with the new kickoff rules in the NFL. We got a couple of minutes left here in today's show, so let's talk a little bit about the Olympics. First, the men's basketball, USA versus South Sudan yesterday, and after struggling to beat South Sudan in the preparation stage of the Olympics, they actually won by, 1 point? And LeBron James had that game-winning layup, and South Sudan had an opportunity to get the game-winning shot. They didn't score it, so they lost. Yesterday, they faced off in the Olympics, and in my opinion, a surprise man was the leading scorer for the squad. So, bam!
Curry, he's dancing. Adebayo.
Okay, Bam. Perfect.
Okay, Bam.
It's Bam Monte all day here in Leo.
Bam Adebayo off the bench, 18 points, 8 for 10 from the field in nearly 21 minutes. He led USA, but Kevin Durant, that man, he didn't participate in the preparation stage. He just needed to start the Olympics, and then he would get hot.
James lost it. Davis saves it. Durant shoots it. Durant scores it.
Look at him looking at the bench.
14 points. He only scored 2 baskets. The rest were free throws. 8 free throws, 2 three-pointers. That's it. 14 points, second leading scorer, and the USA, they beat South Sudan.
Jones will get a fairly open one. Oh, blocked from behind. Got it through and didn't get it to go. Shayok got it off in time. Crowd feet. The United States officially a quarter finalist here in Paris. A 103-86 victory over South Sudan.
That victory got them into the next stage of the Olympics. Let's see how far this team can make it. With the talent they have on the court, they need to be winning and they need to be dominating. Yes, the final score in this game, 103-86, a 17-point differential against a team from a country that didn't exist until 11 years ago when they became independent. So I'll leave it up at that. Luol Deng, he's financing South Sudan. Yes, the former Lakers player, or well, Bulls player that then went to the Lakers and got a lot of money out of the Lakers for not playing much with the purple and gold. The ladies, the women, they won their next game today as well and make it into the next stage. 87-74, the final score. Both Breonna Stewart and Las Vegas Aces player Asia Wilson with over 20 points in that matchup. And those are the two sports that casual fans might be, or well, the men and the women on the basketball side might be more interested in. Soccer, they play with under 23-year-old players. Basketball, you can take whoever you want, and that means NBA players, WNBA players, the best available. They are out there. Simone Biles, she won another gold medal today, so congrats to her. The USA trying to stay up there on the leaderboard when it comes to medals. Baseball, trade deadline. It went down a couple of days ago. Some teams got better. Some teams didn't. It's still a very competitive game out there. And the New York Yankees, after getting Jazz Chisholm, they started getting catching fire big time. And that was bad news for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Holmes' pitch is swung on. Roll to second. Glaber to short for one. Volpe to first. May I have another double play? And the ball game is over. And the Yankees bring out the brooms. They have swept the Philadelphia Phillies.
Bryce Harper grounding out for a double play right there. Las Vegas native Bryce Harper. He has one hit in his last 30 at-bats. He is cold right now. In that game for the Yankees, DJ LeMahieu, he brought in each of the runners to home. Six RBIs in the game for him. One home run, two hits. The Yankees win 6-5, 65 wins, 45 defeats. They were super cold, and now they're getting hot. And now they are only half a game back from the Baltimore Orioles, who yesterday hung on to that AL East lead.
0-2 offering, and that's a fly ball deep right field. It is down the right field line. If it's fair, it's gone, and it is long gone. The first major league homer for Jackson Holliday. It's a grand slam, and the Orioles, as soon as it's a one-run game, surge forward on the first big league homer for Jackson Holliday.
Jackson Holliday, top prospect for the Orioles, getting the job done. The Orioles won 10-4. They are still their leaders over there. The Braves, they made some moves. They brought back Jorge Soler, trying to get that magic back from the 2021 World Series champion Atlanta Braves. And that was because guys like Matt Olson was super cold. But Olson yesterday, he refound his magic with the Atlanta Braves, and he was able to help this team get the win.
And Olson gets into one to deep right center. That's flying back to the wall, and that's going to get out of here. Home run by Matt Olson on the first pitch that he sees from Mears. And it's 5-2 Braves in the eighth. That was pounded.
The Braves won 6-2. Olson went back-to-back with Darnold, who followed him up, both of them with two home runs in that game. 6-2 victory for them. They're barely hanging on to one of those wild card spots. They are trailing the Phillies 6.5 games in the NL East, and the Mets, they are also close behind. The Red Sox, we got to show them some love here in today's show because, of course, Bobby, he's a Red Sox fan.
And swings and this one to left center field. On the run, Luke Raley back at the wall. It's off the wall. Here comes O'Neill around third, and the Red Sox win.
Red Sox win 3-2, walk-off right there against the Mariners, who did a lot of trades. They got Randy Arozarena, they got Justin Turner, and they still got defeated. Both Red Sox and Mariners, 57 wins here at this moment. And let's close off with the Houston Astros. They were able to come back from a 4-0 deficit.
First pitch to Dubon, and Mauricio drives this one deep to left field. Back goes Reynolds, looking up. See you later!
and the Landry's Crawford boxes. A pinch hit two-run homer for Mauricio Dubon, and the Astros lead it 5-4.
The Astros, they are right now tied with the Mariners for the lead in the AL West. And a quick note on the NL West, the Dodgers once again lost to the Padres. Clayton Kershaw yesterday saw a streak of 423 regular season starts with at least a strikeout yesterday. Boom. That streak ended. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of today's show. Hugh Myers is coming up next from Southern California with a new episode of Unnecessary Roughness. I'm Harry Ruiz. See you out there on Twitter and Instagram, Raider Nation.
Appreciate you guys.